The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
Washington, D.C. before it's too late. It's not long. Welcome back to the top of the second hour. National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, WBN 324 Talk Radio, and the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I'm your Thursday host, Peter Serafine. Don't forget, free speech is not free. Support this free speech network, whichever of those networks you're listening on. Support it. Donate. Buy their merchandise. Support their sponsors. There's expenses and costs for doing all of this. And here on RBN, you know, we broadcast via satellite. We broadcast on the internet. We broadcast all over the place. And all of those things cost money. So we need your help. Because, like I said, free speech is not free. On the line with us now, as promised, is, well, I'm going to butcher his name because I'm pretty sure I butchered it the first two or three times I've said it. Soslin Newell Temminson. Welcome to the welcome to National Incel Report, Soslin.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of people just call me Soss.
Soslin.
Yeah. I go by Soslin, S-O-S-L-A-N, and then Temminson, T-E-M-A-N-S-O-N. But just call me Soss.
All right. Well, I'll call you whatever you want, as long as it's not King. All right,
I do
Soss.
Identify as a male, though.
You do identify as what?
I do know what a male is, so I do identify as a male.
Okay. Can you define that
for me?
I'll
be smart. A male has got a male hormones, got muscles, has logic thinking, and loves a marriage.
All right. Hey, before we get too far, because here, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get talking, and we're going to get callers to come in, and I'm going to forget to give you time at the end to plug your show or tell people how to find you or anything like that. So let's get that right out of the way now before we forget.
Okay.
Where can people find you, and what's your show about? What's your podcast about?
So my podcast is called Remember God Loves You, and I'll Meet You at the Finish Line. It's a Christian podcast, but it allows conservative politicians and conservative authors to come on my show to kind of discuss, to give them a platform. And then I also kind of dive into the Bible and see what God has to say into our lives and how we can correlate what God has to say to us in our everyday actions. And you can find me on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and even on Facebook. And so, for instance, tomorrow we're going to be doing a very special episode. We're doing an endorsement pack endorsing pro-American candidates that love this country just like I do, and that candidates that love the American flag and don't defecate on it and don't love freedom just like I do, because when you live in a communist country, you don't have those freedoms. And so that's another reason why I started the podcast. And so then you can find me on Facebook, Soslin Temminson on Facebook. You can give me a follow, and you can also follow me on Spotify, anywhere podcasts and services are.
All right, so my next question was, when and where? When did you start your show, and why did you start it?
So, it was funny because I was in the United States Air Force, and I was actually at a Bible study, and I became paralyzed from the neck down. And right now it's kind of a mystery on how I became paralyzed. Some of them had to relate to like either vaccinations related, while the others, it was that whole thing is a big mess. So when I was in the hospital overseas in Japan, I was alone, and it's my faith and through God that got me through those tough times. So when I got out of the acute rehab facility, I started doing a Facebook live stream called Remember God Loves You, and I'll meet you at the finish line, because as a cross-country runner, we're individualized into a course, the path, individual path. But when we cross that finish line, we're going to run into Jesus' arms, and he's going to say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So the whole irony to this whole thing is that Facebook on September 25th called me and said, "Hey, we're no longer going to have your services anymore. We're going to take that live stream permission away from you." I said, "Why is that?" They're like, "Well, the reason why is because we want to limit the Russian disinformation that gets out from any Russian affiliated accounts." And you know the whole irony of it is, I said, "You know what the funny part is? I lived in that kind of a country where they don't give us freedom, you know, and I guess it's back here, isn't it? You know, so I guess we have another fight that we have to fight now to protect this country." So then what's that?
I was going to say, let's get into that story a little bit. But if you, I mean, you can finish up. So Facebook cut you off because of, you know, Russian disinformation, which I can't say without laughing. Sorry.
No, it's good. And it got to the point where I'm like, so how is talking God, how is talking about loving this country and God spreading Russian disinformation? I mean, I'm trying to get the logic. I'm trying to connect the points.
Well, but because nationalism is evil.
It is, apparently. I guess. What's that?
It's just, yeah, nationalism is evil. You're not allowed to be patriotic and love your country.
No, you know what I should have identified as? I should have identified as a non-binary zebra that loves furry animals. Maybe I would have gotten there. Maybe I would have stayed on. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You could have said you were like a transgendered aardvark, and they probably would, "Oh, I'm sorry. We shouldn't have bothered you."
Yeah, and, yeah. But you look at you know, it's interesting because as a 24-year-old, I've been traveling around America speaking and at events, and been interviewing all different kinds of guests and at conferences. You know, one thing that I'm finding out is a lack of patriotism in this older generation, you know, and how it's being taught not to be patriotic to your country. And here's the thing that I don't understand, and I know I'm going to get a lot of grief for this. So I've been getting a lot of heat for my recent post of talking to an unmarked charter bus that I ran into in Texas. And I asked where that bus was going to the bus driver. I asked him, "So where's this bus going?" And he's like, "What's going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin." And then what happened is I tried to ask a couple questions, and next thing you know, a Border Patrol agent stopped me before I continued on asking my questions and told me to get out or stop asking questions. And it's interesting because I'm all for immigration. I'm all for, like, coming into America because I came to America. I fled it. But I'm for doing it the legal way, not having that dilly-willy style where you get paid $2,400 a month and then you get to liquidate all the government affairs out of people that need it the most, and then you just give them the first dibs on it. That I'm not for. You know, so one thing is that I tell people, I'm like, "So you're telling me if I want to become an American citizen, all I have to do is just go to Mexico and then come across the river, and then next thing you know, I get paid $2,400, I get baby formula for a month if I come over with my kids?" But they said, "Well, not really." And I'm like, "Well, why's that?" You know, because barely any kids come up. It's mostly human trafficking that goes through. And even your militarized men. So, like, the half of the people on those buses, very few of them have women on them. Majority of them are all militarized men.
Right. The left tries to tell you that it's all family units, but if you watch the news, that, you know, anybody who's actually showing it, you'll see that, yeah, it's a majority of them are military-aged males, single military-aged males. It's an invasion. Yeah. Anyway, I was having technical difficulties for the first hour, so I've got it. You know, all my little sponsor ads, none of them played. So I'm gonna have to cut you off right there. But we're gonna do a quick little sponsor break. When we come back, I want to hear the story about fleeing Russia.
Absolutely.
I have an idea to fix almost all of the problems with our federal government. Okay, it's not my idea. It's a bill sitting in the House that will probably never get a vote. H.R. 46, the One Bill, One Topic Transparency Act. If every bill in the House could only deal with one subject, then Congress couldn't add unrelated amendments. Pork and earmark would become nearly impossible. Every bill would have to stand on its own merits. No more bad laws tacked onto spending bills. Corruption would become more difficult. Waste would become more obvious. We would get the transparency from Congress that we deserve. H.R. 46, One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act, would be the greatest legislative win for we the people since the U.S. Constitution. Read H.R. 46 and sign a petition of support at liberty-lighthouse.com/H.R. 46. Hey, so yeah, I'm a big fan of H.R. 46. My change.org petition got to 773 signatures, and it has been at that same spot for several days. So I need you, the listener, to go to change.org/support-HR46 and click that sign it link. I greatly appreciate that. So back to sauce. Your family, because you're still quite young, you fled Russia in 2006, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So I want to make a correction on it. So I was given up at birth immediately. I was born, and then I was given up to a Russian orphanage. So I didn't even know who my family was. And I came to America in 2006. And you know, the sad part is that my first family that came there, they only went to adopt one girl. But instead, they came, and when they went to the orphanage, they said, take as many kids as you can. So they took back 4 boys and 3 girls.
Wow. So
yeah, so it became more of a rescue mission.
So yeah, so you were born in Russia, immediately given to an orphanage, who raised you until you were how old?
1998 to 2006. Man, I'm bad with my math. I think it was 8.5 years. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, 2000. Yeah, you said 98 to 2006. It's 8 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So a family came over to the orphanage and took 7 kids, and you were one of those 7.
Yeah, and you know what's also interesting about the whole thing is I wasn't even supposed to be at the orphanage at that time. I was supposed to be in the Russian military making weapons, but because I had poor health, I wasn't allowed. Because I had poor health, I failed the testing every month, so then they just kept me and hit it. So it became a point where I was pretty much left to die at the orphanage. At a certain age, I would have...
I said, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. So I would have... I was left at the orphanage pretty much to either wait till I was older enough or even older enough to go out on the streets, either probably doing drugs or doing something. Probably dead on the street. To tell you the truth, I don't know if I'd been alive by now. I'd have probably been dead, because that part of Russia was Vladikavkaz Russia, and it is right between, during that time, Czechoslovakia and Georgia's country were hitting that city, which our city was brunt of the war.
So who came to get you? Did they end up adopting you?
So they went and adopted those boys. And we ended up escaping to Georgia, because it got to a point where the KGB wouldn't allow us to leave. So then we escaped in the middle of the night. And then we went to Georgia, the country, where we went to England. And then from England, we went to Bend, Oregon. And then I stayed in Bend, Oregon until 2008, where I was adopted by another family in Wisconsin.
Okay. I got lost there. I got confused somehow. So you went to Georgia.
Georgia, the country. Yep.
Right. Georgia, the country. Until 2008.
We escaped to Georgia, the country, and then we went to England, and then from England, because that's where the father had his documentations and stuff, and so he had to pick it up so we can become American citizens, and then from there we went to Bend, Oregon.
And you were all still all seven kids together at that point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bull hand, isn't it? From two people all the way to seven, huh? That's a big, quick, drastic change in the family.
Yeah. And you went from no family to was that six, seven, eight, you know, mom, dad, eight siblings, or six siblings.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And okay. It was, and when I was, I think 10 and a half, I was born, no, I was not born. I was adopted to a family in Wisconsin. And it was interesting because, the family that I live for, my parents now, they have a recollection of a memory of me getting off the bus, and I just ran straight to the ran straight into my mom's arms, and I didn't even know who she was. And it was like the match made in heaven, kind of a scenario, like where I found that perfect family. And the reason why they kind of adopted, they kind of allowed the other people to adopt the kids because they only wanted actually one girl, so they allowed other people to have kids, like to adopt out as well, because they can handle all the kids, which is a blessing.
I could see that, you know. I'm sorry. I'm just still flabbergasted that these people came over there and you know planned to get one kid and came home with seven.
And here's the whole thing about it. Americans were not allowed to go to that part of Russia. They were actually supposed to be either in Moscow or St. Petersburg. It's because of the first adopted family, because of his English, because he was in the Princess Anna's Royal Guard. It was because of his accreditation that he was able to go into that, because he held dual citizenship. And so because of it, he left all of his American documentation in England, and then he went to, from there they went to Russia.
Okay.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of, like, little cool twists and turns in this. So you're like eight. These complete strangers show up and take you out of the orphanage. You escape to Georgia and then to the UK. And then from the UK to Oregon. Then I'm still a little confused as to the Oregon to Wisconsin transfer, lack of a word.
Well, give or take 2.5 years. So from 2006 to 2008, during that time, we even traveled around the world. We went to Hawaii, we went to Canada, we went all over the world. Then I was kind of a little rambunctious, and I was kind of getting a little bit too... I was kind of getting too much for them, and so then that's where they kind of adopted. That's where I was adopted the second time, because I think I was a little bit too hectic and too energetic for them, but that's okay. It later died down over the years, and so it was good. It was a blessing.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you fled Russia, where you were likely going to be left out onto the street or left to die in the orphanage or whatever because you weren't a healthy child. And you ended up in the Air Force, the United States Air Force. So at what point did you become a citizen? Like, how does this work? I don't know. I was born here. I've always been a citizen.
Well, I became a citizen when I came to America. At that point, I became an American citizen. And I was... Through the adoption, yeah.
Okay.
And it was like behind-the-scenes stuff, so all I know is I kind of was an American citizen, and it correlated back in 2006. And a matter of fact, December 6th to 2006 is... Oh, okay, that's when I became... December 6th is when I became an American citizen. It's called my Gotcha Day. And it's where I celebrate my time. I think it's when my first family adopted me and stuff. So I think it's when I became an American citizen. That's what I'm trying to think, but I think it's called Gotcha Day, so it's like another birthday, but it's an American birthday. Between my birthday, I celebrated on Friday, which makes me feel old. Yeah. and so... What happened was...
Okay, so then you go to the family in Wisconsin. Yes. And hold right there for just a second.
At Romika Designs, we're more than just a laser engraving and specialty design company. Much more. I'm Ron Phillips, co-owner of Romika Designs, and we're honored to work with our affiliates like Liberty Lighthouse to bring you professional laser engraving and customization. Great for one-of-a-kind gifts, home decor, business and specialty items, or personalized and logo designs created just for you or your company. Allow Romika Designs and Liberty Lighthouse to become your go-to gift and specialty project partner. Romika Designs can help make your ideas a reality. We're ready to help you design and create that special gift for any occasion or engrave your personal or business logo on just about any product. All you have to do is simply email us with your ideas. We specialize in custom design, and we'd be honored to have the opportunity to discuss it with you. Visit us on the web at romikadesigns.com and use promo code LIGHTHOUSE during checkout to support Liberty Lighthouse with Peter Serafine.
Okay, so you're in Wisconsin now. You're going to school and all the things that a good kid does. I'm assuming, you know, eventually you go in the Air Force, so I'm going to assume that your health improved.
Oh, it drastically did. Well, a matter of fact, I like to, well, not like to talk about. So I wanted to do cross country when I was in sixth grade, and I like to joke around saying that I was like dead last in every single race in cross country. And later on, like, I wanted to work hard because I didn't want to give up, and so I stuck it through. And next thing you know, seventh grade, I was in the middle of the pack, won here and there. Eighth grade, I won pretty much all my races and kind of set records for the 2 mile. And then freshman year of my high school, I sat on varsity on cross country all 4 years. So, and it's because of my hard work that paid off. And I also ran for class president not once but 5 different times. The fifth year, because we do it in middle school and stuff, I won my 5th year, which was my senior year. But the reason why I kept on running because I wanted to, like, say, you know what, I'm going to fight and I'm not going to give up, because if I have a goal, I want to try to keep achieving. I'm not going to be knocked down by people saying that you can't do this, you can't do that and stuff. So I ran five times, and I achieved one of those years. But it was, I actually joined an Army Reserve before. I joined the Air Force. And what made me join the Air Force was that it was on my 18th birthday. And I told my parents, I said, you know what, I'm going for a job. But what they didn't know was going to go straight to make a beeline straight to the Army Reserve's recruiter office in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Man, that was one of the worst mistakes I've ever made. And I brought home the pamphlet. Well, it truly was, because I brought home the pamphlet and saying, welcome, you're the proud parent of a soldier or whatever. Yeah, a soldier. And just seeing the disappointment in their faces just kind of like shook me to my core, because I pretty much said, well, I feel like I can do whatever I want to do because I'm 18 and I don't need you telling me what to do. And pretty much your opinion doesn't match mine. So this is what I did. Same thank you in lieu of saving my life again. So what happened was I found out that I did a couple of drills, and it was miserable. I found out that the Army Reserves was not the right thing. And I was in the DEP program, which was the delayed entry program.
Yeah.
So I later got out with the help of my dad, because I did not want to go. I did not see myself in the Army. I did not see myself doing something. I felt like they also said that you're going to go to the school, you're going to do the Army ROTC, you've already got accepted. And then the funny part was, it was like one of those too good to be true's, because I contacted the college that I applied for, and they said, we never heard of you, you know. And you can't, we don't have Army ROTC here. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I was deceived. So I got on the Army Reserve DEP program. I think it was in March, or it was April, May. It was May 17th.
All right. Gonna put you on hold there, Sauce. It's commercial break time. We'll be back in 3 minutes, where we'll let Sauce finish up the rest of his story.
The Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Engines. Yeah, there we go. Hey, it's the final segment of National Intel Report for this Thursday, October 13th. And got an interesting story being told by our guest, Sauce. So let's see. You've enlisted in the Army National Guard, but this college that you wanted to go to doesn't have an Army ROTC program.
No, and another thing is, I wasn't happy with the decision that I made with the Army.
Yeah, I was in the Navy, and you know, after being on active duty, I went into the reserves. I didn't like the reserves. I didn't like the switching back and forth. Active duty was fine, civilian life was fine, but trying to switch back and forth between the two, I just did not like that at all.
No. So what happened was, I got out of the Army Reserves, and I worked at McDonald's during that time of transition. And I joined the Air Force in 2018 on October 8th, the day after my birthday. I went off to Lackland for basic training. And from there, after basic training, I went to tech school for HVAC. And it was interesting because when I went to HVAC, the sad part is I failed out of HVAC. And it broke my heart. Because it was a big letdown, it was like a big pushback in my life, and I'm like, man, I don't want to fail. I don't want to get out of the military because I've worked so hard to get where I'm at now. You know, I'm going to keep on pushing. So I started a suicide prevention program called The Passed On. It ended up being an underground ministry. That's what the purpose of it was to bring the gospel into the military, which was very, it was very challenging, by the way. And it became very challenging when you go overseas because I found out that if you do not fit in with the cool kids, man, your life becomes miserable. Not miserable, but you get left out on a lot of things. And they call you like preacher boy, or they call you like the church boy. Hey, church boy, you want to say grace before we eat or something like that? Before, like, you know, we're at our squadron formation or
right.
Our flight end of the week and stuff. So that I used to say grace and stuff, but they say some not derogatory things.
Right, right. But they're not asking you out of respect. They're asking you to make fun of you.
Pretty much, yeah. And even so, when I got to Japan and stuff, what caused this whole thing to change, such a drastic change, was the way I got treated in the military. Now I understand that, like, you know, there's like that fun play, and that there's like not fun play, but there's people joke around and stuff, but this became at a very unhealthy way of joking around to a point where you could get in trouble for going overboard. And so, for instance, I was called a Russian Jew, a Russian communist. I was called, got criticized for something that I was eating too much, and everything was just going down. I got mistreated, and they called me out. They did literally a month of investigating whether if I meddled in the 2016 election. So that's $3.2 million of your tax dollars went into seeing whether if I interfered with this 2016 election.
Nice.
And so, I'm like, man, I did not know people get treated like this in the military. I'm like, what about the guy from Germany? You don't do an interrogation on him. What if he was one of the Nazis that, you know, worked at Auschwitz? Do you? I mean, that's going a little bit overboard, but, it just blows my mind that how there's such, like, if you're an individual like that flee from a communist country and you go to a military saying, hey, this is what I want to join, but you absolutely get the total opposite, it just blows my mind. They scrutinized the way I rode my bike. They criticized me because I was eating too, like eating certain foods. And, you know, what got me through those difficult times was my church family. You know, I got involved in off-base church, I got involved on-base, and it was a very cool experience, and it was very cool, like, just getting myself surrounded with people that are of faith, because they provided me peace and comfort, and it allowed me to relieve my stress, and it was a good stress reliever going to church and just glorifying God. But it's sad, and as a matter of fact, when I was in the hospital, you know, when something drastic happens to you, like when something ill, like you become paralyzed for an extended period of time, or you get medevac, you expect the military or the Air Force to contact your parents and say, hey, or the American Red Cross. You expect them to contact the American Red Cross, or the Red Cross to take care of the rest of it. Well, the Air Force didn't even do a single thing. And a matter of fact, they didn't tell my parents, or they didn't contact the Red Cross. My parents didn't even know what was going on. Now, the only reason why they knew what was going on was because of the church family I was involved. The on-base people, the on-base church family, and the off-base church family, too. They were the ones that kept my parents in the loop. Isn't that sad?
That is sad. I mean, well, it's sad from the military perspective. It's great for the church perspective. Now, I always feel obligated whenever somebody starts talking about faith and religion and church family, I feel obligated to say, you know, I am not a terribly religious person. And I believe in God. I go to church a few times a year, you know, when the wife asks me to or something. I really don't like the church environment. I don't like the singing. I just, music doesn't move me like it does other people. I feel odd, stupid, standing there singing when I can't sing, and I don't know how to read music, so reading out of one of those books just doesn't make any freaking sense to me. Like, I'm made very uncomfortable by church just because of how it's done. I found a few exceptions over the years where they don't do some of those traditional things that make me uncomfortable. But I do believe in God. I'm not a terribly religious person, but there's a lot of scientific and clearly provable data that says, like, there are many studies that show that just the act of prayer is beneficial to the person praying. Whether or not you believe that there's a God listening really is irrelevant in these scientific studies. The act of prayer is akin to meditation as to what it does to you, the person doing it. So,
well, if I may cut in,
of course.
So the sad part is that the doctors told my parents I was supposed to die. You know, I wasn't supposed to be living very long. And that they're saying, well, we have to kind of get his things ready for him to, like, you know, he's going to have to go in the nursing home, or he's going to have to go under intense care, and we're just about to kind of give up on him. And and it was through prayer that got me now, like, where I can walk fully and I can do all things. Well, through Christ and who gives the strength, and it's through prayer. And I believe that prayer works because it worked in my life. And sometimes, you know, people, you know, it's interesting that they expect the prayer when they pray, they expect it to be granted right away. Like, I want it now. Like, but a lot of it, you know, it takes over time. And, you know, when you see somebody that's paralyzed from the neck down, that can't even talk and that can't even do anything, and you see him, like, bouncing back to a whole, like, a brand new person, you know, the doctors didn't know what caused the paralysis. You know, they didn't know how I got better. But I believe it was through prayer and through people, like, and the mercifulness of God that got me all better.
Hey, prayer, you know, if it worked, it worked. I mean, absolutely. You're better. Yeah, you're better, and who's to say it wasn't the prayer? I got a cute little story to go along with that too, but first, just this little message.
'Twas the night before Christmas. The kids snuggled asleep in their beds when you heard a loud rumble like Santa and his sled. So you went downstairs to take a peek, get a look. You were confronted by this creep, a crook. He drew his weapon, but you fired first. And now this creep could take all your worth. Secure your family with Right to Bear insurance. Plans start at $10.95 a month with civil and criminal defense coverage options up to $2 million.
Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/right-to-bear to learn more or sign up and start protecting what you have now.
If you own a firearm, I highly, highly recommend Right to Bear insurance. It's the most affordable of those types of insurances that I've found. And yes, I highly recommend it. Okay, so my cute little story, Sauce. My cute little story is about my beautiful wife. I met my beautiful wife. She had a horrible limp, and she has a trach scar, and she has a weird thing about how her hands move sometimes and all this. But I didn't know at the time, you know. When we first met, she was in a terrible car accident about 10 years before we met. A car accident where her back was broken and her brain was swelling to the point the top of her head had to be removed to relieve the pressure. And her ear had to be sewn back on her head and, you know, just a lot of weird things. She's spent, again, this was before I met her, so I might get a detail off here and there. I can't remember if it was a month or 3 months in a coma. And the doctors did the same thing. The doctors had prepared her mother that she was not expected to live. And they were, you know, preparing to unplug the life support and all that kind of stuff. And then when she did wake up, she couldn't speak. She couldn't remember how to do anything, couldn't remember how to walk, couldn't remember how to talk. Oddly enough, the one thing that she could remember was the sign language alphabet. So for
several weeks, the only way she could communicate was through spelling words out in sign language. She couldn't even remember how to write those words. Like, I've asked her, why didn't you just write it out on a tablet? She says, I couldn't remember how. But she could remember the sign language. So they always had to have a nurse on hand that understood sign language. Then, you know, once she did wake up, they told her, well, she's never going to walk again. There's just no way. Needless to say, it's now been 18 or 20 years. And she walks and talks and, well, she's perfect. And, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I was a pretty despicable human being before I met her, to be quite honest. I was a philandering SOB. And I met her, and, well, I love her to death. And it changed me. So, who's to say that she didn't have to go through that just to fix me? It's God's will. You know, God does what he does. And maybe it wasn't to fix me. Maybe it was to make me not self-destruct so that I'm around because I'm going to do something that's going to affect somebody else 10 years from now. Who knows? The mysteries of the Lord. Hey, I haven't given out the phone number in a little while, but it's 512-248-8252 if you want to call in. We've got like 15 minutes left in the show. Toll-free number is 800-313-9443. So continue your story, please, sir.
Well, so it took me about 6 months to get all better. And from there, you know, during that 6 months, actually in 2020, I became involved in fighting for America, and because I knew that this country, I was starting to get a passion. I was starting to get a drive. And I'm like, man, this country's heading the wrong direction. I see where this country's heading to. I see all the divisiveness going on. Polarization is getting worse. Now it's like, beyond, like you can cut a cake. This day and age is so tense. You can like cut something with a piece of like plastic knife or even a hair follicle. That's how tense it is. But I became passionate about the country because I was starting to think about, you know, how I was in the process of getting out of the military, and I'm like, man, and I was starting to pick up on my podcasting or on the Facebook Live, and I'm like, what can I do to somehow glorify God but at the same time continue fighting for this country? And how can I do that at the same time, you know, do two of those things at the same time? So I got out of the military on September 30th. I started working at McDonald's, and then I later applied at a Christian college, a one-year college. I was thinking about going to seminary. And the cool thing is that this year, in January, I will be starting a seminary school, Oak Hill Seminary School in Bemidji, Minnesota, for pastoral ministry.
Nice.
So,
wait, what was the name of the town in Minnesota?
Bemidji.
Okay, I have kids in Minnesota. I was trying to picture where that is,
and
I
can't.
I will.
A couple hours. What's that?
I'll look it up.
Oh, absolutely. It's about 2 hours up north from Duluth.
Okay.
It's at Oak Hills. So I recently got accepted there, and so it seems like, you know, in this day and age, we need more prominent people to fight for what is right. And we need to bring people together at the same time, but we also need to educate them, not like educate them on the proper thing, not on like, is a woman, define a woman, and if so, you know, have transgender, and that I can go down that rabbit hole. But I think in this day and age, if we don't do our part in saving this country, if we don't, like, stand up against this tyrannical style of government, we're going to lose everything before you know it.
It's coming real close.
It's not coming. It's already here. That's the problem.
No, I mean the losing everything part is coming real, like, we're getting there.
It's you see it coming. It's clearly the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. It's can we get out of the way fast enough? Hey, we've got a Pat from Fort Worth, Texas, on line one. Pat, good evening.
Hi, I remember a lot of things listening to him because I even talked to Michael Rivero about this, and I said, you know, I remember when I was listening to Christian TV, and it was like 2013 or 12 or whatever, and they were saying, please don't pray that Russia can't come. And they were in Ukraine. They were saying, we have a lot of orphanages here, and please pray that Russia can't come because they will shut our orphanages down. And I was wondering if they took them, they actually took the kids and put them in their own orphanage. But then they were always also saying, what they're doing, Russians are sending people over here to the Ukraine, and they're trying to get everybody to want us to go back to Russia. I remember that. You know, you remember where you were standing when you heard it, and you thought, oh, my gosh. So does this register anywhere with anybody?
I don't remember.
And Pat, do you remember when Bill Clinton signed in that law in effect, where Joe Biden actually renewed that law, where if you come from, in this, well, actually it's current now, if you come from Russia, Cuba, China, or any of those kind of hostile countries, you get sent right back? You remember that?
When he did what?
So what happened was
he signed the law that said that if you came here from a hostile country, and he had a list of those hostile countries, that you just got sent straight back. Like, there was no making your case or anything. It was just, get out.
No, I didn't know that, but go ahead. That's what, when you started thinking, I was thinking maybe that's what happened, that I'm getting all the dates kind of confused, but I remember that very well, and I was thinking, oh, we got to pray that those people can't come over here from Russia and try to act like everybody in Ukraine wants to go to Russia and become Russian or something, you know. So, yeah, and Michael Rivero, he likes kids. So he said, where'd all the kids, why were all the kids in the orphanages? And then they were talking about the Christians going over there and adopting, scads of them. And they liked that. That was a good thing. But I said, I don't know where they came from. I don't know why there were a bunch of orphanages in Ukraine.
Well, can you answer that, Sauce? Like, do you know why you were given up? Like, why are there so many children in orphanages in Russia?
Were. Well, so the reason why there's so many kids in the orphanages is because back during the Bill Clinton era, he signed into law where Americans could not adopt Russians because they were afraid that Russians were going to go in and become sleeper agents, which is the kids have already been indoctrinated by the Russian government. So then families from America would adopt them, and then somehow they'd go in and steal classified information, or they would murder their parents. And there were a couple of cases back in the 1990s when that did happen, and that was later made into a law, and that's what made it possible for Americans to adopt any Russian kids, unless if you were non-American, if you're in England, and then there was no problem. But Bill Clinton is the one that signed that into law. And that's why there's so many kids still stuck in the orphanages in Russia, because of Bill Clinton's arrogance. No offense there.
Yeah, I don't know, but that explains why, the U.S. isn't taking the kids out of the orphanages, but that doesn't explain why there are so many in the orphanages to begin with.
Well, so the reason why there's so many of them in there is because people don't know what to do with them. You know, look at my instance. Majority of the kids are either victims of rape, incest, or just accidental pregnancies. And so, so many of the parents that do give up them are teenagers. You know, and parents aren't ready. And that's why there's so many that just get dropped off in the baby orphanage.
Oh, so like here in America, we just abort them all. And in Russia, that's not an option. Instead, they end up in orphanages.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Now I understand. All right. Last one of these little breaks, I promise.
If you call yourself a conservative, I have a question for you. What are you trying to conserve? The $29 trillion national debt and the continued out-of-control spending? The status quo of a bloated and corrupt federal government? The deterioration of a moral society? Become a constitutionalist. Conserve the unalienable rights of we the people and the document that is supposed to restrict our government and protect our rights. Support the Constitution Party, the only nationally recognized political party that stands for the founding principles of the U.S. Constitution. Every point of the Constitution Party platform is tied directly to that founding document which made the United States a great nation. Learn more, join, and support the Constitution Party at ConstitutionParty.com or your state's Constitution Party website.
All right, Sauce, we got like 5 minutes left, so finish with a big bang.
Oh, boy, the big bang. So,
too much pressure.
I know, it's so big. Well, first of all, I would like to say thank you so much for allowing me to be taking this time just to kind of find out a little bit of my life, and thank you for allowing me to share my story with you. And you know, I think it's important that we have people on a platform where they can share their true stories, where they're not going to be censored. You know, you'd be surprised. You know, the big bang I would have to say was when I was in Indiana and I was at the Cracker Barrel, I was telling an individual, a family, an older couple, and I was telling them, like, I was in the military because the older gentleman had a hat and stuff. And this is really sad, what's going on in our generation. Well, this gentleman went up to me and the younger generation, and you know the whole irony of this whole thing? Is that the gentleman was wearing a Be Kind to Everyone while his wife was wearing, in this house, we believe, this love is love, and so on. Well, he went up to me and he said, go back to your effing country, you communist. And, like, his face got so red, and his face got, like, you could see the veins popping out of his face. And he was kind of, he was looking for a reaction, actually. He was looking for, and it was interesting because the older gal, she asked him, she's like, who do you think you are? You know, and, you know, he quoted Maxine Waters, Senator Maxine Waters' statement. If you see a supporter of, like, any Trump and stuff, you give them hell.
Right.
And so he quoted that.
That's terrible. We've got elected officials out there encouraging violence, and they just get away with it. Hey, we got one more final caller for the night.
Yep.
Fred in Iowa, line one. Fred, you've got, like, maybe 3 minutes at the absolute most.
That I live in a small town in Iowa, and there is one heck of a lot of Ukrainians here, and they've been here for 10 or 12 years and growing. So there's very few Russians, because I assume anybody from Russia or that area, Ukraine, they speak Russian. Well, Ukrainian and Russian, a Slavic language, you know, they can understand each other. You know, all of Russia is Slavic descent. But Ukrainians get a lot of benefit. Now, they're hardworking and all that, but this just hasn't happened overnight. They've been here for 10 or 12 years, in this very small town I live in Iowa. So, you know, that's pretty damn strange to me. Got any comments?
Well, I think, well, here's why I think. I do think it's a little bit odd, especially how you're seeing that more and more of them have rights and stuff, and more of them have multiple like benefits than other people. I think you have to look at the geopolitical thing, and you have to look at what their intentions are. And we see that happening. We see that if you have any Ukrainian descent and stuff, you get automatically dibs on bringing in anyone from you want from, like, in the time of war right now. Well, they're supposedly in war. They get to bring their loved ones over here. So they're purposely bringing in more people that they shouldn't be bringing over. They should be at their own country trying to fight their own battles, not flooding in our country and taking...
That's right. Benefit. Because they've been here a lot longer than before the war between Russia and Ukraine. Yeah.
I think people immigrate to this country and they kind of gather in certain areas. Like there's a little tiny village in my town where a large majority of the people that live there are Ukrainian and Russian. There's pockets of Minnesota that are all very Norwegian, you know, that type. Like I think it's just a phenomena of immigration where everybody groups together of people of their own nationalities.
And well, it's an area
what I've been seeing for quite a few years is Ukraine is Russia's Cuba. And when Cuba was the United States and the United Nations, which I do not think much of, that's the one world government.
All right. Well, I hear the music. It is time to go. Thank you very much for the call, Fred. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting, stay tuned for The Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. Thank you to our guest for joining us this evening. Thank you to Mike, the producer. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you to the listeners. You're why we do this. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.